Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the very first episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, bringing together the most fabulous, dark, occulted, mystic, knowledge, wisdom, truth, etc. My very special guests joining me today to mark the kicking off of a new age, a new degree, maybe even the 34th one, will be Santos Bonacci from Australia and the UniversalTruthSchool.com. Say hello, Santos.
Hello, Vinny. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
And in the blue corner, wearing the Masonic black and white shorts, we have Jordan Maxwell, who is still here. And
yeah, I'm still here, Vinny, and happy to be on the show.
Jordan Maxwell Show. .com is the blippity blue for that one there. And this topic for today is something that is very personal for both of my guests and very, shall we say, unknown to me. And I probably include with the royal me, including pretty much everybody who doesn't know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, inside and out. You know, these people that come to your door and, the reason they get out of police speeding tickets and things like that. You know, cop pulls a Jehovah's Witness over. I've got a fine here for you. Well, have you got some time to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ? All right. I'll let you off with a warning. Now, I'd like to see if we can encapsulate this here. What, who, indeed define the parameters, is the Jehovah's Witness organization? Who would like to start?
Well, maybe I will, because there are a few things I think need to be said before we even enter into this subject. For one thing, I'm not in any way saying anything about Jehovah's Witnesses, the people, because I know them. I was one for a while, and my mother was one. So I know that there are a lot of very, very good, sweet, and very decent people who are in, who belong to Jehovah's Witnesses. So I'm in no way talking about them. But as a matter of fact, some of the people that I have met in Jehovah's Witnesses were some of the nicest and most decent people you'll ever want to meet. So we're not talking about the people, just as when I talk about the Vatican, I'm not talking about the Catholic people. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about organizations. So that's, I'd like to, you know, set the matter straight. We're not complaining or condemning Jehovah's Witnesses as a people, but we're talking about
no more than you'd condemn the people who serve you the burger at McDonald's when you criticize the CEO putting ingredients that aren't fit for human consumption in the produce.
Right. But they're not responsible for that, and you're not responsible. You know, but you are responsible for eating it. So I have a very warm place in my heart for Jehovah's Witnesses. I know so many of them, and they've been very good people. But I would say, and I think Santos would agree, that probably anywhere from 50 to 75% of the overseers, the elders and the men in the congregations around the world who are in charge of the different congregations, the ministers, so to speak, are themselves pompous, arrogant, self-centered, egotistical, because most have never had a position of responsibility in their life, and finally they get a place in the congregation, Jehovah's Witnesses, where they are ministers and they're in charge, and for the first time they can be in charge of something and start lording it over everybody else because they're in charge. And so there are some elders and ministers and Jehovah's Witnesses who are very decent, very fine people. But by and large, I think that the overwhelming majority are very self-centered, egotistical, and self-serving, because they're climbing the power, they're climbing the ladder to power within the organization. But that happens in all organizations, unfortunately. But, so what I'm saying is that Jehovah's Witnesses are no different than anybody else on the earth. There's always good, there's bad, there's brilliant intelligence, there's stupidity. Anytime you get people into an organization, we're not condemning the people. We're talking about the facts of the corporation, the company, and the concepts and the ideas. So I just wanted to make sure people understand that. I have nothing against Jehovah's Witnesses as a people.
Because he used to be one, his mum was one, and you get the idea, ladies and gentlemen. I presume similar sentiments from you, Santos.
Yeah, that was well said. I agree that that is simply a
bit of fat. Getting some really bad talk chatter on your line there, Santos.
Oh, really?
Can't hear you too. Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait. Let's try that again.
Is that better?
I think a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll just try and change the position of the mic. It might be a bit faulty. Yeah, I agree with that wonderful prefacing of this topic. It's simply because organisations which have people in them will always have a mixed, eclectic group to contend with, and so that's already going to be something to have to manage. But certainly it's the organisation here that we are going to reveal certain facts about the organisation, because what's really going on here is there are two churches really going on. There's the Church of the Living and the Church of the Dead. Now, the Church of the Dead is the what they call the organization, you know, it's corporatized, hence the title Watchtower and Tract Society Incorporated. I've brought this out to many Jehovah's Witnesses because I did do about probably 35 years of my life with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and I can go into just a brief history too, so that people know that I know who I'm talking about here. 35 years, I was a ministerial servant. I served in a Portuguese-speaking congregation in Melbourne for 4 years, Italian-speaking congregation for 4 years in the northeast of Victoria, Wangaratta, Myrtleford. I served in some Spanish, just giving talks, etc., etc., and all the English-speaking people know me too, especially in Victoria. You know, I was quite well known. Yeah. So, the corporation is, corpse means dead, and it's all corporations are under the Vatican. That's what I'll say. I'm not going to elaborate about that because I've done that. And so was Jordan in many, many of our works. And so that's all taken care of. All corporations come under the mother, the whore of Babylon, the umbrella of all umbrellas. And it probably goes back to Constantine and the donation of Constantine. Or you could go back probably to the Flavian dynasty or the Julian dynasty that set this up. Pope Boniface, of course, in 1300 did some damage with his papal bull. So anyway, that's more than I wanted to say, and I'll probably hand it over to Jordan.
Now, Santos, also, your microphone may be a little bit close to a computer or something. We hear this kind of low hum over the time. But anyway, Jordan, would you like to pick up where he left off?
Well, yeah, I would even say that, or explain a little more that corporations, as Santos said, are actually dead because they are, you know, you can't take a corporation, you can't take the Watchtower Bible Tract Society as a company, as a corporation. You can't take the Watchtower Society out for dinner. It's just a name. It's just a name of a company. So it has no life. It's just the name of a corporation. And so there is a, there is the church, as Santos said, the church of the living and the church of the dead. Well, the church of the dead is a corporation, a company. But the church of the living are the actual living people in it. Now that's different. Now we're talking about the people. So tonight we're not talking about the people, the church of the living. We're talking about the church of the dead, meaning the corporations, which actually have no real life at all. They're just a corporate name.
So, are they registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission? Because we've looked up that New Zealand itself is a corporation under the Queen and Right of New Zealand, registered at the SEC. Is it the same for the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Church of the Dead?
I would suspect so, because I also know that the Mormon Church is a corporation, and we found out, and I was shocked to find out that Islam, the very religion of Islam, is a corporation soul. On the British, in Britain, it's considered a corporation, a company, and it's called a corporation soul in England. And I would send some of that information and documents to you. That's interesting, so, that even Islam is a company. Corporation.
Well, so could Islam then be defined as soul traders?
Probably, yeah. That's the kind of thing that Santos is so good at, breaking down how these corporations are intermingling cosmic ideas about living people and how they own your body and your soul, etc. So, yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot of information that needs to be brought out about Islam, Judaism, and Christianity as corporations, as companies. Because that's what they are. They're on the stock market. I mean, it's an incredible story of how this stuff really works. And, of course, Jehovah's Witnesses are right in the middle. You've got to figure they're right in the middle of all of this. If they're in New York City and Brooklyn, now, my God, anybody who lives in America knows what Brooklyn is all about. Brooklyn is the center and has been for a long time, for many, many years. Brooklyn, New York has been the center for mafia, for Jewish Zionism, for all the corruption, all the underworld stuff that's been going on in America. It's a very serious area of corruption and occult power in Brooklyn, New York. Well, that was the home. That's the home of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Corporations get involved in things for the money, generally. So the question is, where does the money come from to feed this corporation, and where does the money go once it's been sucked in?
Very good. Yeah, very good question. I can answer that. Many years ago, back in 1980s, early 80s, I went to an international convention here in Los Angeles of Jehovah's Witnesses. And at that international convention, there were three members, three of the members of the governing body. There's a handful of men. I think there's 12 of them in New York, headquarters for Jehovah's Witnesses, that actually run the organization. There are 12 men, just like the Mormon Church has 12 prophets who run the Mormon Church. Well, Jehovah's Witnesses have 12 men also who run their church, and there's a reason why it's always 12 at the top. But anyway, I was at an international convention here in Los Angeles back in the early 80s, and I knew two of the members of the governing body personally, Dan Selick and can't remember the other guy's name now. It was an old Greek guy. And so after the convention was over, the governing body members, there were three of them, and all of the people around them, their entourage, were all going out to dinner. And I was invited to go. And at dinner, there was a young man there, young Greek guy there, who was the accountant for, he was the chief accountant for the Watchtower Bible Tract Society, Jehovah's Witnesses headquarters in New York, and he was the chief accountant. And so we're talking about the organization, et cetera, and I'm just listening to these big shots talking about the company and about the corporation, et cetera. And then I asked this young man, I said, in the yearbook, you know, in the books which are printed by the Jehovah's Witnesses, this was in early 80s, I said, in the most recent book on your company, it says that you have spent like $65 million just on salaries alone. $65 million on salaries alone for this year. And so I asked him, and that does not include all of the construction, all of the buildings and property which is being bought all over the world by Jehovah's Witnesses. So my question is, where are you getting the money? Because I live here in Los Angeles, and the congregations here are just scraping and getting by from month to month on contributions, and yet the New York headquarters is spending $65 million just in salaries alone around the world. And so there's an enormous amount of money that's being spent each year by the organization, the world headquarters. So I asked him, where are you getting the money? And he said to me, he said, the corporation called you, the Watchtower Bible Tract Society Company, has what is called an open-end account with two of the major banks in America. One is this is back in the 80s. He said one of the banks is the Chase Manhattan Bank, and the other is the Morgan Guaranty Bank in Philadelphia. Morgan Guaranty and Chase Manhattan, we have a open-end corporate accounts with them. And the governing body are sitting there listening to me talking to their chief accountant. And it became very quiet, because now you're talking about the money. Now you're talking about where the real power is. And so they were listening to see what was going to be said. And so he told me, he said, we have open-end accounts with both of those banks. And I said, what do you mean by an open-end account? And he says, basically, both banks give us a checkbook once a year, and whatever checks we write are covered, period. No matter what it is, it's an open-end account. We write the checks, and they're good. And whatever, and so there's no limit on it. Well, that told me something right then. Because Jehovah's Witnesses are famous for talking about the evil, corrupt politicians and bankers, et cetera, et cetera. Well, at the time, Chase Manhattan and Morgan Guaranty Trust was affiliated with the Rothschild banks out of England. And everybody knows about the Rockefeller banks in New York, Chase Manhattan. And here this accountant is telling me, no, the Chase Manhattan and Morgan Guaranty Trust are financing us with an open-end account. Whatever we need, we write the check, it's good. So I don't know what that tells you. Go back and think about it.
When it comes to money, if somebody gives you money, they want something back for it, an exchange. What's the exchange? What are the Jehovah's Witnesses doing for the bankers?
Well, I think that's very obvious. What they're doing is that Jehovah's Witnesses are a Jewish Zionist operation. I've known that for many, many years. They are being financed by secret funds that end up in Chase Manhattan and Morgan Guaranty Trust to finance propaganda machines for what we refer to as Zionist propaganda for New World Order. And so Jehovah's Witnesses are famous for talking about Jehovah's New World. It's not Jesus' New World. It's Jehovah's New World. Jehovah is one of the names of the Hebrew God that we use today. So the original Watchtower magazine, originally back in 1870s, 1869, 1870, when Charles Taze Russell began to publish the Watchtower Society, published a Watchtower magazine, it was not called Christian's Watchtower or Jesus' Watchtower. It was called Zion's Watchtower, Z-I-O-N-S, Zion's Watchtower. And there were pictures in the old original Zion's Watchtowers, of which I have the complete set from the 1870s, but pictures in those Zion's Watchtowers of Charles Taze Russell, the founder, on board ship with Baron de Filippi de Rothschild, Baron von Hirsch, Chaim Weizmann, the founders of the Zionist movement. It was very well known that the international Bible students, that's what they were called. They weren't called Jehovah's Witnesses back then. That didn't come until 1939. Originally, Jehovah's Witnesses were referred to as the IBSA, International Bible Students Association. And, as I said, the Watchtower had pictures of Charles Taze Russell on board large ships going back to England. And it shows him with all of these big shots, and it says in the article he was there with the Zionist leaders going back to England to meet with Lord Rothschild and the Prime Minister of England, etc. Well, that just tells me that he is well connected to the secret order of the movements of the world that have brought about what we call the New World Order, because that's what he was talking about. The New World Order. And so even today, the Watchtower talks about the coming New World, where Jehovah will be the absolute monarch of this New World Order. And so Jehovah has nothing to do with Christianity as it was originally understood in the first century. This is Zionism. This is actually a Jewish Zionist front group that's being financed by the Rockefeller Banks and Chase Manhattan and Morgan Guaranty Trust out of England. So that's just the beginning.
Was it founded to fulfill that purpose, or did it actually have a very genuine beginning and then get co-opted?
Hard to say. I think probably that's really hard to say, because it is a good question. I'm not really sure at this point. All I know is that, let me go back and say this. In 1940, I think it was 1940 or 39, the ambassador to the United States from Italy, the Italian ambassador to the U.S. back in 1940, his wife wrote a chart. She wrote up a chart, and it was published in certain magazines about the occult connections with all the secret societies. And she was obviously very, very knowledgeable. And it became a very widespread article. and I have found a copy of it a long time ago. There's a company I know that I gave it to that are publishing it today. And I could send you a copy of it if you'd like to get it. And it shows the connections going all the way back to the mid-1800s, the secret societies operating behind the communist movement, behind the Nazi movements, the secret fraternal orders that were financing and promoting Nazism, communism, fascism. And this lady was very interesting, because she names all the names and their connections and all the interlocking corporations, who's financing who. And on that, and in that chart, she has Jehovah's Witnesses as being originally founded by the Rothschilds and the Rockefeller Banks to be a front group to prepare people for the idea, the very concept of an earthly kingdom, a new world order earthly kingdom by God. And, of course, nobody would want to argue with that if it's by God. And so it was being financed out of Europe. And of course, the Watchtower Society was very, very big in the 1870s in England and in the and on the continent also. So I think probably, I mean, I'm giving Charles Tes Russell the benefit of the doubt. Maybe at the very, very beginning, he was truly interested in Christianity, but from the very start of his very beginning of his watchtowers, it was called Zion's Watchtower, and we're told that he was being financed. I mean, that's a whole another story about where he got his money from to start the International Bible Students Association, which became later on Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a lot of history to the Watchtower Society that's never been exposed to the public. And I've known about this for many, many years.
How have they managed to keep all of this financing and everything from their flocks? I mean, I gather they don't talk accountancy during sermons.
No, not at all. Not at all. That kind of thing is on a need-to-know basis. And well, you don't need to know.
My next question is, what happens to the people in the congregation that start asking too many questions?
Well, that's what happened to me, because for some reason I was very connected, as Santos was, but I began seeing things and hearing things that didn't add up, and I was very sincere and wanting to do something for God. But the more I began looking at it, the words and the terms that I was seeing that was being used by Jehovah's Witnesses, I knew to be communist terms. I knew them to be occult Masonic terms. I had already been studying for many years occultism, and I was very familiar with the secret societies, their fraternal symbols, emblems of power, and the words and terms that they use. And when I began seeing it, because that's what I've always been able to do, is pattern recognition. And I began seeing the pattern, the symbols in the Watchtower, the words and the terms, and in the big conventions, the big conventions that they had, the words and the terms that the speakers would use, I remember distinctly thinking, those are communist terms. Those are terms which are used by the secret societies in Germany and in Italy. Those are these symbols and words and pictures that are being shown to the Jehovah's Witnesses. These are well-known symbols and words of the secret societies, out of which has come Zionism, Illuminati, occult Freemasonry of Europe. So it became very obvious to me something is going on here. Nothing is what it should be. And then I began seeing the corruption in the congregations, then in the circuits, and then later on in the districts. And the higher you go, the more the corruption. And then I had some real eye openings later on as I began to investigate. I really started to see things that were actually happening. We could talk about that later. But it all became overwhelmingly obvious to me that we were sucked into some kind of a secret society operation that's being financed out of London and New York. And it's based in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn, everybody knows, is the home of Mafia, La Cosa Nostra, secret societies, Jewish Zionism, all kinds of evil corruption. Anybody could go on the web and look at the history of Brooklyn. It is nothing but criminal. And there is the Watchtower Bible Tract Society right in the middle of Brooklyn, buying up docks, buying up properties, doing anything they want to do. Even the mafia couldn't buy the docks of Brooklyn, as well established in Brooklyn as they were. Even the mafia could not buy the docks of Brooklyn. Nobody could do that. Jehovah's Witnesses did. They went in and bought up whole sections of the docks of New York. That takes clout. You got to know somebody to pull that one off. So it's a big story.
A blank checkbook might help with that kind of negotiation. I was thinking about how there's many different roads to the same truth. Yep. And what you've been explaining to me about the apparatus, the financing, the generalized sort of scope of the organization, which is basically just a subtle way of ushering people towards acceptance of a new form of global governance.
Yes.
And this mirrors the founding of many political organizations that I've been looking into, many other religious organizations and so on and so forth. So what it says to me is that this secret society network has actually managed to, shall we say, set up so many different well-financed movements that it doesn't matter where you're born or what part of the world or something, their influence will probably be there, ushering you into the mindset to accept a new world order by hook or by crook, by politics, by religion, by food or by water.
You can bet on it. No doubts about it.
How do you exactly think about what role the Jehovah's Witnesses organization themselves plays in this? I heard tell of a story where they would buy sections of the neighborhood and not let anybody live in the homes and let them go out or something, or even sometimes commercial buildings. And as a result of having this deteriorating, rotting building in the middle of that street, the value of the subsequent properties around it would start to go down, and they would come in and buy those too. And it's the exact same thing that the Russian mob was doing in the Netherlands, actually, about 10, 15 years ago. So, yeah. Have you noticed that the exact same pattern of behavior exists throughout all these organizations? That's how you know they're connected?
That's exactly right. That's what I said. You should see this chart. It's a large, large chart with hundreds of entries, and it shows the financing, the political connections behind the scenes with the secret societies, the different names and the different organizations and how they are interchangeable on different boards of directorship for corporations. You know, the same people that are on the board of directors for, say, Ford Motor Company are also on the board of directors for some companies in Europe, which are also on the board of directors of something in Russia and China. So it's an interlocking worldwide operation that people have no idea in the world how big this stuff really is. But Jehovah's Witnesses are heavily, heavily involved as a corporation, not the people. But as a corporation, they are actually the one of the many, I guess you would call, propaganda machines to prepare the world to start thinking in terms of a kingdom to come, God's kingdom to come on the earth. And it will be, of course, a Jewish kingdom, because Jehovah is the God of the Jews. So it's Jehovah's kingdom, not Jesus' kingdom, not God's kingdom. It's Jehovah's kingdom. And they talk about the coming day when the new world order will be here, and that all of the great saints of Jehovah, all the great followers of Jehovah, will finally be in power. They will be in positions of power to govern over the earth. 144,000 will be in heaven, and all the others will be here on the earth to govern the whole human race. So, you know, I don't know how much you have to hear of this to finally get the idea that this whole operation of Jehovah's Witnesses and other cults like them that are financed out of New York and London and are definitely can be proven to be connected to the Rothschild banking fraternities, to the United Nations behind the scenes. All of this portends to tell you that something very big is going on the world scene, and good people all over the world are being sucked into it, because most good people are not into studying the dark side of the occult. which I have been doing for some 50 years now, looking at the dark side. I want to hear the rest of the story. And believe me, there's a hell of a story here that's never been told about not just Jehovah's Witnesses. We're talking about them tonight, but same thing goes for the Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, Christadelphians, Worldwide Church of God. There's a whole network of secret societies going around the world that are financing these so-called York Rite religious orders. So many of these religions are being financed for political purposes.
So the financiers figured out that not everybody's going to just swallow one religion pill, so they brought out the exact same poison pill with a whole bunch of different range of flavors, and you know, they've got your Coke, you've got your Fanta, you've got your Pepsi, you've got your Sprite, you've got everything that you've got except real choice.
That's it. You've got it. That's exactly what I think is happening. And I've only been looking at this for 54 years, and that's exactly what I would say.
Yeah. Well, it sounds about right, doesn't it?
It sure does.
I don't buy into fear porn anymore, you know, or getting afraid of things. I just assume that the worst possible option is probably the correct one, the most cynical option, the most jaded option, you know, something that a really, really cynical journalist would say. That's probably more likely the truth than the other thing, because it's not satisfying. And that's why lies sound so sweet.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I take the same view of the life I live and the world I live in. I have discovered over the years, been doing this for many, many years, that the world, and I'm famous for saying this, that the world is not what you think it is. Nothing operates the way you think it does. Nothing. It's corrupt all the way through, all the way, like there was a scripture in the Bible even says that from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, there's not a well spot in you. There's nothing in this world of any intrinsic real value in the world that we live in. Politics, religion, government, banking, law, go down the line. All the human institutions that were created by humans are created by fallible people. And it's in the nature of man to want to control and buy out and be in control. And unfortunately, we're reaching now a point on the earth where that is now, that cancer of control and buying and corruption has finally sucked in the whole world, so that all over the earth there is not a one thing that isn't the dirty, controlled, some kind of secret stuff that's going on that we're not being told, and the normal everyday people of the world have no idea in the world how bad off we really are.
Because people tend to panic and change for the better when they're faced with a crisis, don't they? You can't really allow people to react like that on their own fashion, on their own steam. Could you imagine it? I mean, just right after 9/11, people weren't saying, oh, it was the terrorists, let's go over and bomb a whole bunch of people that had nothing to do with it and occupy their countries for a couple of decades. People would have gone, oh, yeah, all right. Just like that, but anyway.
There's so much more I could tell you, and I don't want to block out Santos because he knows what I'm talking about. But there's so much more we could talk about.
Speaking of which, it's time for the return of the ghost of Santos Bonacci. Welcome back, bro. Oh, no. It's not working very well.
Thanks. No, I was enjoying that because I can... What's that, the mic?
It seems to be like close to something. There's a little bit of a hum or a burr or something, and you seem to have like a massive delay, like about a maybe I'd say a 10 second delay. So as soon as I finish speaking, you're going to talk back up.
Oh, well, look, I'll just keep going for a little bit, wind up for about 5 minutes. But I want to touch on a few of the good things that Jordan mentioned. For the listeners, just Google Lord Edmund Aaron Rothschild and Charles Taze Russell and punch in the word letters and correspondence, and you'll see how the Russell family, who are just branches of the Rothschild and the Rockefeller family, these are all ancient ancient bloodlines. Very powerful. They are bloodline families. You might want to look at the research of guys like Springmeier and there's tens of others who have researched these so-called royal bloodlines, right? The Russell family, who emanate from Germany, Lucelle. They were and then migrated to Scotland and England, then went over to the United States. These Russells, they tie in with the Russell Trust, which is Skull and Bones a la George Bush and that killing machine there. Now, in 1935, there was a magazine, a register called Niles Weekly Register. I'm going to read this out to show what's behind, what kind of force is behind these church corporations, monotheistic, patriarchal, autocratic, pedophile. I mean, these corporate Christian churches are the last haven for pedophiles on the planet. If you want to be a good little pedophile and you want to be protected, join one of these churches. It'll be good. You'll be right. Because that's all they do, including the Jehovah's Witnesses. Go to silentlambs.org and see the photographs and list of elders and ministerial servants and all types of deviants from the Jehovah's Witnesses, proven, went to court, and are still serving in the church. And this is a list of thousands upon thousands. It's riddled with pedophilia. All of these organizations are the big boys clubs. So pedophilia is exactly what their interest is. But going back to the Niles Weekly Register, 1835, this was written about the Rothschild family. Now remember, it was only 8 years prior to this that Charles Rothschild down in Naples went up to Rome and kissed, this is famous, this picture, you'll see a picture of Carlo Rothschild bending down in bended knee and kissing the Pope of the time. I forget which one it was, but it was since 1826, I think it is, the Rothschilds and the Vatican have joined forces. The richest family on the planet, who branch out to the Russell family, the Rockefellers, and all these other families, as Rothschild family, the Windsors are in with them too. They're a killing machine. They're a war family. In fact, the Baroness Rothschild, the
Santos
wife, actually.
We've been having a little bit of a problem here hearing you. Do you have a phone number or something you can pop into the chat and we could possibly reconnect you on that, on a mobile or a landline or something?
I'll call back in. No, I haven't got any other means. I'll just call back.
No problem. Just quickly reconnect on in. That'll be fine. Sorry about the technical difficulties, folks. It's one of those things with live radio, isn't it? I would also like to have a look here and think about these royal family connections to these organizations as well, because Santos, you were just saying there about the Windsors being connected to the setup of this.
Oh yes, of course. Diana, Prince William is a half Rothschild. The Spencers, they were Goldbergs, who are a branch of the Rothschilds. So this family does this. It branches out with different names, and they're all interrelated, especially the Russells. That's easy to research on the net. But the Niles Weekly Register said this: "The Rothschilds are the wonders of modern banking. We see the descendants of Judah, after a persecution of 2,000 years, peering above the kings, rising higher than emperors, and holding a hole in the hollow of their hands. The Rothschilds govern a Christian world." Now, I'll read that again because this is the point, this is what I wanted to read, but I'm going to continue with the full reading here, but I want to stop and just repeat that. The Rothschilds govern a Christian world. Not a cabinet moves without their advice. They stretch their hand with equal ease from Petersburg to Vienna, from Vienna to Paris, from Paris to London, from London to Washington. Baron Rothschild, the head of the house, is the true king of Judah, the prince of captivity. Please take note, the prince of captivity. The captivity is through the Vatican, and I'll explain how that is through the birth certificate and the legal name. This is what they're all doing. All the churches are involved in slavery. The Messiah so long looked by this extraordinary people. He holds the keys of peace or war, blessing or curse. They are the brokers and counselors of the kings of Europe and the Republican chiefs of America. What more can they desire? Now remember, this is just perhaps 50 years after the Rothschilds took over all banking in Europe and all the finances of Europe everywhere. And Baroness Rothschild said, if my sons did not want wars, there would be no wars. Now, this is what the churches are here for, Vinny. The churches, the Jehovah's Witnesses, all of them, they're all corporations, and they're all owners of corporations that make military hardware. The Jehovah's Witnesses own a corporation called Rand Cam Corporations, which manufactures motors for the military-industrial complex. And it's a Judeo-Christian, you could call it, monotheistic. Really, it's just a corporation. Okay, so the reason the Rothschilds joined with the Vatican was so that they could join forces and manufacture the greatest slave industry machine ever in the history of the universe. And it runs via the birth certificate legal name. This is what the Jehovah's Witnesses are harvesting, and all the other churches, they are harvesting the energy that is accessed through the birth certificate legal name. The birth certificate is nothing other than a baptism into the Catholic Church. It is a benefice. It is a benefice which is given in gift to a parson, P-A-R-S-O-N, which becomes a person, a mask, a legal mask. Now, how many Jehovah's Witnesses do you think would go to their kingdom hall, kingdom phallus, and hear the elders saying, please, people, brothers and sisters, please understand that your legal name is owned by the Catholic Church and you are truly 100% owned, mind, body and soul, by the Catholic Church. I wonder how many Watchtower articles, did I say Watchtower? I should have said Watch Out articles have been written to warn them about this. I wonder how many articles in the Asleep magazine that they have warned their little baptized lips that the Vatican owns birth certificate.
Santos, you're going to have to reconnect quickly again. Sorry about that. It seems to go good for a couple of minutes and then sort of drop out. So time to reconnect. And we should be able to sort that out. Now, what this strikes me as, interestingly enough, is basically like ancient Aztec culture was about grabbing people, enslaving them, and then sacrificing them, right, and manipulating them. This is the ancient Aztec way. And I think over time they figured out, hey, you know what? Human sacrifice needs to be a lot more elaborate and convoluted so that people don't know that we're stealing their soul. Is that about right, Santos?
Yeah, it is, Vinny. It is absolutely 100% correct. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses are guilty of. The other thing they are guilty of, not only is people trafficking and harvesting energy and dumbing down the people so that they will wait for Jehovah to come and fix up the problems. In the meantime, bend over, pay your taxes, pay your rates to the military-industrial complex, because they will come a-sodomizing you, and we will encourage you to look the other way and not say anything. What's going on is these churches are funded by the Rothschilds, by the Rockefellers, the the people who are dumping byproducts of the oil industry in our water, air, foods, and it's just a big oil dump. It's the Rockefellers, and they own the Jehovah's Witnesses. And the way you know that the Jehovah's Witnesses are guilty, they're guilty of two of the biggest people trafficking crimes that you could possibly ever commit. First of all, slavery, because they have not told their idiot dupes that they are owned through the legal name and the baptism, the birth certificate. It's not a government document. The live-born record is, the birth certificate is Vatican, Holy See, Roman Curia owned, and their souls are owned. And do they tell their dupes as well that the currency that they're collecting in their contribution boxes and their donation boxes, which are everywhere, is owned by the Federal Reserve, a private banking cartel which is run by the Rothschilds and the Vatican, and they are collecting this blood money. They're not collecting treasury notes. Does the governing body of the Jehovah's Witnesses ask their sheeple to make sure that they only collect treasury notes, because treasury notes, US treasury notes, do not subscribe and use usury? Isn't it interesting that the very people who, you know, preach the Bible and go killing you for it because you don't understand their version of their Jesus are telling people to put usury, blood money, military, industrial, Rothschild, Vatican-owned currency in their contribution boxes? I wonder what they're doing with that petrodollar money, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, yeah, that's right. Jordan just mentioned that, didn't he? Buying up docks and land and hotels in the Brooklyn. 20 years ago when I started researching this, I discovered that there's an organization there, a government organization, which tells you the richest corporations in the boroughs of New York, and Jehovah's Witnesses are number 20 in the Brooklyn borough, 20th richest business in the borough. And perhaps, Jordan, you'd like to tell people about Mr. Solly, the Jewish cigar-smoking gentleman who hides behind the curtains of the governing body to direct to them what they shall brainwash with?
That's something I was going to bring up, yes. And I was at a convention, a big international convention here in Los Angeles. They hold a lot of them here. And this was at the Dodger Stadium. And I was in charge of platform security, or I was working with the group for platform security. So I had access to the big shots up at the top of the stadium, overlooking the whole convention. And I went in one day to talk to Fred Franz, the president of the Watchtower Bible Tract Society, and I was supposed to be guarding him on the platform security. So I walked in to the box at the stadium, where it's very off limits for everybody. Just the big shots from New York had this private box, air conditioning and catered food and everything in the box. And so I went in and I started to go into Fred Franz, as I said, the president of the Watchtower Society. He knew me and I knew him well, and I was on his, I was on platform security. So I started to walk in, and there's a big heavyset Jewish guy there with sideburns smoking a cigar, which, as far as I was concerned, that the moment I saw him, he's sitting there smoking a cigar, reading something, and it struck me, who is this guy smoking a cigar when it's, that's supposedly something that Jehovah's Witnesses have nothing to do with, is smoking. And yet this guy's sitting here in front of the president of the Watchtower Society's office, sitting there smoking a cigar.
Well, let's get into that. After the break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave you on the cliffhanger of the cigar-smoking guy with sideburns. This is going to be really awesome. I can just tell already. We'll be right back.
www.blipperdyblog.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Revolution, Revolution Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat masses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride, and they can bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host,